Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, hello to you and welcome to this Monday edition of our program. It's great having you with us today. We are in the second of 2 weeks of a fascinating series by Derek Prince called Pages from My Life's Book. It's really the story of his early life, his conversion. I find it fascinating because of how honest it is. You know, sometimes when we hear testimonies, we hear people telling about their conversion, it gets sort of whitewashed, but Derek tells it in a raw way. You know, the fact is he didn't like the church. He didn't trust clergy. He thought Christianity was irrelevant. He had turned to pagan philosophy. And then he had an encounter in an army barracks with the risen Jesus Christ. That's the story he's telling. And I just want us to get right to it. So grab your Bible and something to write with. And let's listen as Derek Prince tells us about pages from his life's book.
In my talks last week, I was opening up for you some pages from my life's book. I was sharing with you in an intimate way personal experiences in my walk with God that had built my faith and shaped my life's destiny. This week, I'll continue with this theme, opening up for you more pages from my life's book. In my talks last week, I shared with you about my search for truth as a young man. Looking for the meaning of life, I had failed to find it in the form of Christianity I was raised in. I turned to philosophy and to yoga. But again, I failed to find what I was looking for. Drafted into the British Army as a hospital attendant in World War II, I decided to study the Bible, only to be disappointed yet once more. I couldn't find any coherent message in the Bible. Then I met a Christian family who were different, humble, uneducated, but different. Being with them in their home, I realized two things about them. The first was that for them, the Bible was a meaningful, up-to-date book. The second was that they had a real, personal relationship with God. Eventually, I decided to pray and ask God for whatever this family had. But once again, I was baffled on the point of giving up. I found I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know whom to pray to. And then suddenly, I made contact with two things, a power and a person. Finally, I identified both the power and the person. The power was the Holy Spirit. The person was Jesus. I discovered that the truth is a person. Very soon after I had come to know Jesus in this real and personal way, my company was sent overseas to North Africa, and I spent the next 3 years in the deserts of North Africa, Egypt, Libya, and the Sudan. It's interesting to trace in the Bible how God sometimes used the desert to prepare his people for their future service. There are some very vivid descriptions of desert in the Bible. For example, Jeremiah 2, verse 6. They did not ask, "Where is the Lord, who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through a land of deserts and rifts, a land of drought and darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives?" I remember once in the desert reading that verse to my fellow soldiers, and they all agreed that it was an exact description of the situation in which we found ourselves. Let me read those words to you just once more. A land of deserts and rifts, a land of drought and darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives. The desert strips away from us the non-essentials and brings us down to the basics of life. In the material realm, these basics are four. Stated in order of importance, they are water, food, shelter, and transportation. In the spiritual realm also, my years in the desert stripped away many non-essentials and brought me down to the spiritual basics. I'm reminded always, when I think back to that time, of how Moses described God's dealings with Jacob, that is, with Israel, when he led them through the desert. This is what Moses says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10. He, that is the Lord, found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. I see there four successive stages, all of which were fulfilled in my experience. First the Lord found, then he led, then he instructed, and then he kept. I believe there's a logical order there. After the Lord finds us, he begins to lead us. And as we are willing to be led by him, he instructs us. And as we are willing to be instructed, he keeps us. But his keeping us depends on our being led and instructed. Let me read those words again. They're so vivid. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. One thing especially that God revealed to Israel in the desert was the real source of nourishment and life. Again, I'll read the words of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, where he reminds Israel of their experience during the 40 years in the wilderness. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. There's the lesson, that the real source of life is not just physical, material bread, but the real source of life is that which comes out of the mouth of the Lord.
You know, a wise man once told me that one of the great secrets, one of the great keys to the Christian life is to learn how to mine the valleys, how to get the best out of the dark times, the low times of your life. That's what Derek's story in the desert does for me. It teaches me how to learn the lessons of God in the hard times. There's more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Across more than 50 years of ministry, Derek Prince experienced many extraordinary encounters with the presence and person of God. For those who have wished they could have spent some one-to-one time with the man and heard him share details of these encounters, we are pleased to make available The Next Best Thing, delivered in a heart-to-heart style. Derek's message, Truth, Faith, Love, My God-Given Goals, brings you his personal account of his encounters with Almighty God. In this special audio CD, you'll hear how Derek discovered the reality of God and experienced the tremendous power of his Holy Spirit. You'll enjoy wonderful stories of God's supernatural power working in his life and the lives of those around him. You'll be encouraged by the faithfulness of God and drawn to press more deeply into his presence, which is why we want you to have a copy of your own, absolutely free. To get your copy of this exceptional audio CD, Truth, Faith, Love, My God-Given Goals, free and postage paid, simply request it when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and this special CD are both free. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at DerekPrince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great having you with us here on this Monday as Derek Prince is teaching us about how God discipled him in the desert during World War II. It's not only fascinating from a historical perspective, but it's also fascinating for all of us who find ourselves from time to time in the desert in our Christian life. Let's listen now as Derek teaches us.
The real source of life is not just physical, material bread, but the real source of life is that which comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Another translation says the word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. But the real life source is God and his word. And in all the order that Israel might learn that, God humbled them. He tested them. And in particular, he allowed them to be hungry. And I will tell you from experience in the desert, being hungry is a test. There were many, many days we really did not have enough to eat. We only had brackish water to drink and very little of that. I was in charge of a group of 8 men who were called stretcher bearers, though they did very little stretcher bearing. There were also 2 drivers that shared the driving of the big 3-ton truck that we traveled through the desert on. So altogether there were 10 men and myself on that truck. Before very long, the rest of our company had dubbed us Prince's Pioneers, because I was the one in charge of this group on this motley group on this truck. But I'll tell you that being hungry brings things out in you that you don't know are there. I remember how many times it was a test of unselfishness and discipline whether we would be content with our rations or whether we tried to cheat or one man would try to get some rations that belonged to another man. It really was a humbling experience, but in it all, God showed me that he had made provision for my spiritual life through the Bible, the Word of God, and through the Holy Spirit. The Bible was my manna. I lived by that day by day. I remember the words of Job when he says, "I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." I could honestly say that that was true of me. If I had to choose between eating or reading the Bible, I chose reading the Bible. I was living by the words that proceeded out of the mouth of God there in that desert. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul also brings out some of the lessons that God taught Israel during their years in the wilderness, in the desert. And he reminded the Christians to whom he was writing that those lessons had an application for them also. This is what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea." Our fathers means Israel. "And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ." There were 4 experiences appointed for all of God's people. All of them shared in those 4 experiences. The first 2 experiences were single events, 2 baptisms, 2 immersions. All God's people were baptized to Moses, their leader, that is, set apart to Moses as their leader, by a double baptism. The baptism in the cloud, which corresponds to the baptism in the Holy Spirit for us as Christians, and the baptism in the sea, which corresponds to water baptism. Those 2 baptisms set those people apart to Moses, their leader. And by our 2 baptisms, in water and in the Holy Spirit, we are set apart to Jesus Christ as our leader. After that, for Israel in the wilderness, there were 2 ongoing daily experiences. Every day they ate of the manna, which God provided supernaturally from heaven, and every day they drank of the water from the rock. And Paul says that rock was Christ, the Messiah. So they had a double source of spiritual nourishment: the manna, which corresponds to God's word, the water, which corresponds to the Holy Spirit. And so it was in my period there in the desert. I lived by the word and by the Spirit. In 3 years in the desert, I gained a basic knowledge of the Bible. I read it through a number of times, and I discovered that the interpreter of Scripture is the Holy Spirit. In God's marvelous provision for us, the Holy Spirit, who is the author of Scripture, also becomes our teacher and our interpreter. And I discovered that wherever I needed to know anything in the Scripture that was practical and relevant to my spiritual life, the Holy Spirit would always lead me to the answer. As a matter of fact, when I started attending churches some years later, I discovered that there's much more in the Bible than we hear about in most churches. And I was disappointed many times at how little the churches had to tell us of the Bible. But I learned one thing which I have always kept with me. I learned to judge the church by the Bible and not the Bible by the church.
I hope as you're listening to this that you're encouraged. to know that when God takes you to the desert, He's reducing you to His Word. He's reducing you to living on every word that proceeds out of His mouth. That's the great lesson, and that's the great encouragement today. Listen, when we come back, some special friends in the studio as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Across more than 50 years of ministry, Derek Prince experienced many extraordinary encounters with the presence and person of God. For those who have wished they could have spent some one-to-one time with the man and heard him share details of these encounters, we are pleased to make available The Next Best Thing, delivered in a heart-to-heart style. Derek's message, Truth, Faith, Love, My God-Given Goals, brings you his personal account of his encounters with Almighty God. In this special audio CD, you'll hear how Derek discovered the reality of God and experienced the tremendous power of His Holy Spirit. You'll enjoy wonderful stories of God's supernatural power working in his life and the lives of those around him. You'll be encouraged by the faithfulness of God and drawn to press more deeply into His presence, which is why we want you to have a copy of your own, absolutely free. To get your copy of this exceptional audio CD, Truth, Faith, Love, My God-Given Goals, free and postage paid, simply request it when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and this special CD are both free. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and joining me today in the studio is David Holland, one of the producers of the show, and also a man who brings us a lot of great perspective, great interviews. Dave, great having you here today.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be with you, Stephen. You know, not too long ago, I had an opportunity to chat with somebody who probably has more insight into the life and ministry of Derek Prince than almost anybody. David Selby served for many, many years as the president of Derek Prince Ministries and as essentially an administrative right arm to Derek Prince so Derek could concentrate on the thing that God had called him to do. David stepped aside as the president of Derek Prince Ministries last year, but continues to be very involved with the International Council of the DPM offices around the world. David was a great source of insight, and I really, really enjoyed talking with him, and I believe that you'll enjoy hearing what he had to say as well.
Well, I always believed that Derek's ministry would go on until Jesus returned. He left us such a vast legacy of teaching, both in audio and in written form. And particularly with Legacy Radio, being able to bring his teaching to a new generation. That's one of the heart cries that Derek had. He really had a heart for what was termed some years ago Generation X, but that younger generation that really needed to be schooled and grounded in the Word of God. That was his heart. And so it is happening. To me, the exciting thing is the internet. That is a tool that is global, and I believe that as we develop that, Derek will have a greater impact on the nation and the nations as we go forward. And with the linking of the web to other languages and other countries and other offices that we have, it is the most powerful tool we have available to us. So my prayer is that God will give us the resources, the talent, and the creative ability to make that a teaching tool to the body of Christ worldwide. I have been with Derek Prince Ministries over 35 years. In the beginning, it was just Derek and me, and of course his wife Lydia. But now it has developed into a worldwide organization that is very close-knit. One of my callings is to encourage the leadership keep on track. I had the privilege of marrying one of Derek's daughters, and as some people have said, the best way to get ahead in the world is to marry the boss's daughter. And I had the joy of meeting my wife Anna 44 years ago. She had come from Africa where her parents, Derek and Lydia, were leading a teacher training college in Africa on a mission field there outside of Nairobi. She came to Bible school in near the city where I was attending church, and that's where we met and married in 1961. The Lord gave us four children, of which one is Christopher, and it's a joy to see Chris, who is very talented, if I may say so, as a father, very talented, and to see him actually in many ways picking up where I left off. So Chris is doing a great job, and we're very grateful. Well, the biography was actually something that Derek really wanted to see written. Not exactly towards the end of his life, but well into his life, he felt that he wanted to leave that story of God's faithfulness. His favorite saying was, God is faithful. And that's what he wanted to leave behind, was a story of God's faithfulness to him. We had various attempts at it, but nothing really came about until Stephen agreed to write the biography. And in fact, Derek told me, Derek was telling me, he said, I believe Stephen is the man to write the biography. He had come to realize that was God's appointed man to write the biography. And I believe that Stephen did an outstanding work. What he did in telling Derek's story is outstanding. It was quite revealing because there are many things in Derek's story, his biography, that I didn't know. In fact, I remember thinking after I read the biography, I wish I had known that when he was alive. But for some reason, he didn't share all those things. But when he came toward, and he knew that there weren't many more years left, he wanted to tell the whole story. And that's what he did. But my feeling and my reaction was, oh, I wish I'd have known that Derek. But he didn't share a lot of those things. He was a very, in many ways, a very private man. I was very close to him, but he obviously didn't share a lot of those stories that he shared with Stephen. In fact, the interesting thing to me is how Stephen and Derek connected. And Stephen, I'm sure, has said this many, many times, but they were opposites when it comes to personalities. But Derek connected with Stephen, and I believe Stephen connected with Derek. And that's obvious in the way he has continued to be involved in Derek Prince Ministries. And now as the host of the Derek Prince Legacy Radio program, it's obvious how he blends and brings in the truths that Derek is teaching on radio. And that's because there was a connection with Derek.
You know, what a privilege it was to visit with David, particularly here we are sitting today, Stephen, on the fourth anniversary of Derek's homegoing, his passing.
That's right.
To heaven.
That's right.
I know David was very dear to Derek, and you picked up on that in your times with Derek.
You know, I have a standard question that I ask people when I'm interviewing them for books, if the book's about them, because I think it says a lot about them, you know, what they read and what they do in their spare time. But I also ask, who's your best friend? And when I was in Jerusalem in the hospital with Derek, I asked him who his best friend was, and he said, David Selby. And I think that's about the highest tribute that you can get for a man's life and the relationship between the two men.
Absolutely. And nevertheless, as David pointed out in the conversation we just heard, Derek shared some things with you in preparation for the biography that David didn't know.
He didn't know.
That were complete surprises to the people who were the very closest to him, which really it says a lot for how transparent Derek was in preparation for that biography.
He really was, and I'm so thankful because the bio, I think, is wonderful, and it's not because I wrote it, it's because Derek was ready to tell his story.
I encourage everyone to go get it. Go online and get the biography now if you don't have it. You'll really, really enjoy it.
Oh, do go on. Hey, it's great having you with us.
Hey, thanks, Stephen.
Listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
To get your copy of Derek's CD, Truth, Faith, Love, My God-Given Goals, free of charge, call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Call now and be sure to request your free CD, Truth, Faith, Love, My God-Given Goals, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. or request your free copy securely online at derekprince.org, where you'll find other helpful resources, including Derek's biography, for just $19.95. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at derekprince.org.